Good morning, everybody. Glad you joined us this morning here at Fellowship Baptist Church in beautiful Rayford, Florida. Our pastor is Dr. Harold Hudson. Some of you know him. But again, thanks for joining us today. And let me give you our phone number, 386-431-1066. And our address is Post Office Box 338, Rayford, Florida. And feel free to write us or call. There's somebody usually here in the mornings. And we'd like for you to do that if you have a question about anything. But thanks again for being here. I want to say this, next Sunday, June the 7th, we will be going back to a full Sunday morning worship service at 11 a.m. And for the time being, it will be just Sunday morning. So if you want to come join us, you can. We have a location out in the auditorium. We have in the back if you're not sure about, you know, sitting close to somebody. But we'll have everything in place for you so you'll be safe. So pray that things work out good for that, okay, next Sunday. Right now we have Miss Polly Hendry who's going to come and sing for us. Come on, Polly.
Midnight cry. The bride. amen. How many of you are really looking for him this morning? Boy, isn't it exciting just to know that we're living in the generation that the Lord's going to come. So I want to have a word of prayer this morning before we get started. You got your Bibles, and I hope that you have your Bibles. You need to turn to Psalm 4. Psalm 4. Also, that if you don't have a pad and a pen, you need to get one right quick, because I'm going to give you some scripture this morning, and I hope you'll do as I do. I got a little card with these scriptures on it that I carry in my billfold. And this past week, I've been praying through these particular verses that I'm going to give you this morning, so that you'll need something to write on and something to write with. So let's pray. Our Father, this morning, we're so grateful to you for making it possible for those of us who are here in the auditorium, as well as for those who are listening by Facebook. And Lord, we're so grateful and so thankful to have this opportunity to share the good news of the gospel. We're so grateful and thankful to be saved, to have come under the shed blood of the Son of God. And Lord, we know that you're the most important person in our life. We love you, and we trust you, and we trust the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus, and the precious Spirit of God who indwells those of us who have been born again. And so this morning I pray that you'd open up our understanding to this particular psalm. Make it real in the minds and hearts of God's people. And everything that you do, Lord, we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. What do you do in the times of trouble? Would you say that we're in times of trouble now? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, the Holy Spirit had Paul to write, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." I think he would say that we're living in perilous times today. I grew up in the 1930s and the 1940s, in the time when people were trying to get over the Great Depression. But in my lifetime, I've never witnessed anything like we have witnessed in the past few months. Thousands have died because of this virus. Millions have lost their jobs. Many people have lost everything. So let me ask you this question. How will you handle trouble? How will you handle it when trouble comes? I want you to know that crying won't help. And also, worrying won't help. The Bible teaches those of us who are saved that we're not to worry. And running away from our problems will not help us at all. So this morning we want to look at Psalm 4. King David was in a heap of trouble. How did he get out of it? How did he face danger? How did he face adverse conditions? He prayed. The same thing that you and I should do when we're faced with all kinds of problems. When David wrote this psalm, he found himself in a pile of trouble. He had people that wanted to kill him. He had Saul dogging him. Sounds like he was so jealous of David. He wanted to kill him. And David was a man constantly on the go. Even though he was a man after God's own heart, he faced multitudes of problems. And folks, it's going to happen to you, and it's going to happen to me. In this life, we're going to have our problems. But we need to know how to handle those problems. I want to give you three things this morning. And no, I do not have a point. Just 3 points. And I want to explain this psalm to you the best I can. When the Holy Spirit wrote these words and gave them to David, he was talking about the supernatural power of God that's available to all of us who have been saved and come under the shed blood of the Son of God. If you are a Christian, if there is a time in your life and a place where you got saved, then you qualify for this psalm. Now there are 3 things here. Is how that he saw God. First, he saw God as a righteous God. Verse 1 says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness." God is a righteous God. He is a holy God. And holiness is his greatest attribute. And so David saw him as the righteous God. God is righteous. And notice how David said it. "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness." He was asking God to hear his prayer. And sometimes, when we get in a state, we want God to hear our prayers, do we not? How do you see God this morning? First of all, David saw him He saw him this morning as a righteous God. We should never lose sight of the fact that God is holy and righteous and hates sin. Now, here's some of the promises I wanted you to write down this morning. I find our privilege and pleasure in praying through these psalms. Psalm 145 and verse 18 says this: "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." You know what that verse is saying? That when you get down to pray and you're praying in truth, the Bible says that God is near you. The Lord is nigh unto all of them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. And in order to get into where the Heavenly Father is, you need to have the blood of Jesus applied to your life. The second one that I want to give you that I hope that you'll write down is this one. In Psalm 50 and verse 15. And this is what that psalm says. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Call upon me in the day of trouble. When you're having your troubles, when things are going bad for you, when you get some distressing news, this verse of scripture says, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. The second thing, how that he saw God, not only did he see him as the righteous God, he saw him as the faithful God. And this is what he said in verse 1. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have you ever really been in distress? Have you ever been to the place where you just really didn't know which way to turn? Well, this is the place that David found himself in, but he turned to the Lord. There's another great verse. And all of these verses that I'm giving you, I carry in a little card in my billfold. So that when I go somewhere else to pray, away from the house, I take this card out. And I turn to those Psalms. And read those Psalms back to God. In Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 24, this is what it says. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. What a great promise from God. That while they are yet speaking, and before they call, God said, I will hear. What a tremendous verse of scripture for a saint of God that's having trouble. There is another one. In Psalm 18 and verse 6. And this is a most personal verse of scripture. Personal. You should write personal under it. Psalm 18 and verse 6. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ear. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. What a blessing it is that when you're in trouble or stressed out or not knowing which way to turn, to claim that particular psalm and that particular verse. David, first of all, he saw God as righteous. Secondly, he saw God as faithful. God is a faithful God. God does not renege on his promises. And thirdly, he saw the graciousness of God. He is the God of grace. And verse 1 says, have mercy upon me, and hear my prayer. Folks, that is a very personal verse of scripture in Psalm 18 and verse 6. In Psalm 55 and verse 16, it says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me, that is, free me from all of the dilemma that I may be in. The grace of God. The Bible says that we're saved by grace. And it's God's grace that does things for us that we don't deserve. In Psalm 86 and verse 7, the psalmist wrote, in the days of my trouble, in other words, in the day that I've got something that's very pressing, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. I think that all of us who are saved could probably go back to a time in our life when we had a situation such as that. And called, and God answered our prayers. Now all of these verses that I'm giving you relate to the time of trouble. The time when you need a helping hand. A time when you need some direction from God. Look at Psalm 91 and verse 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. What a tremendous blessing that is. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Now notice this next phrase. I'll be with him in trouble. When you're in trouble, folks, you can't have anybody better to be with you than him. Amen. Almighty God. And notice the promise that God gives in that verse. I will deliver him and honor him. Now let me say something before we get too far in these verses that I'm giving to you. In order to make them work, you've got to have faith. The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. It's one thing just to get down and pray and claim these verses, but you've got to believe God that what God says is true and claim it. What did David say in that first verse? He said, the living God is a righteous God. He said, the living God is a faithful God. You can put your faith and your trust in him. And he said, the God, the living God is a God of grace. He gives us things that we really don't deserve. In the beginning, in verses 2 through 6, we see the superficial people that are acknowledged. He talks about three types of people. In verse 2, he talks about the sinful man. He says, "Oh, ye sons of men, how long will you turn from my glory unto shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing, Selah?" Three words. The word shame. God said, "They're dishonoring me." To dishonor God. You know, folks, you can't go out and live every other which way, and then when you get in trouble, run to God. Because you won't have the faith to bring it about. These men that he's talking about in verse 2, they shame. God said, "You turn my glory into shame." That is, they dishonored God. The second word he uses is vanity. That means a worthless thing, empty. People who dishonor God and live lives that don't honor God, they have an empty life. And they dishonor God by the way they live. And they live and love vanity, which means a worthless life. And then he talks about leasing. That means falsehood. So the sinful man is a man that dishonors God. He's a man that lives a worthless life. Empty, has no presence of God in his life. And lives in many respects in falsehood, that is, lying. Then he shows us the spiritual man in verse 3. And this is what he said. "But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him." What does it mean? To set apart godly for himself. It means a person who is living a spirit-filled life. Well, this is something all of us should want. And that is to be the spiritual man. To be set apart for God himself. And then in verses 4 through 6, he gives a scriptural model. The kind of man that we should be. He talks about in verse 4 that our attitude must be right. The Bible says in verse 4, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still." See, that means a pause. The attitude. You can be saved and still not have the right kind of attitude. There's a lot of Christians that have a wrong attitude. An attitude that in itself does not honor God. The attitude. I think maybe we ought to have a class on how to improve our attitude. Sometimes Christians get turned off by other Christians by just their attitude.
Yeah.
Hard-nosed kind of thing. How you react to other people is going to make a difference in how that person looks at you. And if you have a bad attitude, and sometimes we all have bad attitudes, don't we? But if we're going to be the scriptural model, you better improve your attitude. Does it always have to be your way? What you say goes. You heard that before? If you're going to be the scriptural model man, you must have an attitude that's right with God. If your attitude is right with God, it'll be right with your fellow man.
Amen.
The second thing is that your action must be right. The Bible says in verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. How is our action? The Bible says that we're to offer the sacrifices of righteousness. We are to live a righteous life. And we're to put our faith and trust in the Lord. What causes God to answer our prayer? Well, when we don't have any unconfessed sin in our life, and when we have enough faith to believe that what we're asking that God is going to do. I never will forget, and some of you heard me tell this story before. I don't really tell it so much for you. I like to tell it to myself and remind myself the miracle that God did for me. When I went to my first church, I want to tell you, it wasn't an easy thing to begin with. The Lord had blessed, but it was a hard ministry for a while. I got a little bit discouraged. You ever get discouraged? Well, I got really discouraged. And I said to the Lord, I need to know that you're with me. And I said, I need to ask you something, but I don't know what to ask you. I need you to lay something on my heart that I can ask you for, that you'd be willing to do. I was a young preacher then. I hadn't been in the ministry long. And we had grown to the point in that little church on the corner that we were running about 170 in Sunday school. So let me tell you what the Lord told me to ask him. To ask for 220 in Sunday school that next Sunday. The church had never been over 200 in its entire history. At that time. So I started praying. And every day that week, I didn't share it with my wife. I didn't share it with anybody in the church. I didn't share it with anybody except God. I didn't go to the church on Wednesday night and say, please pray for me, you know, pray that we'll have a large number of people coming to church Sunday. And I didn't mention that to anybody except God. Now, folks, what I'm telling you, my hand on the Bible, I'm telling you the truth. Sunday morning came. I would always get up and spend from 5 to 6 with the Lord in prayer. When I got up out of bed, I could hear the rain hitting down on the top of the house. Normally, that would discourage me. So as soon as I got to my secret place to pray, I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, I want to tell you something. I said, I didn't hear that rain. I said, it's pouring down rain. But I said, you're God. You control the elements. And I'm still looking for 220 exactly. Not 223, but 220 in Sunday school. And so on the way to church, my daughter and I, we had to go at slack just for a little bit, and then all during Sunday school, folks, all during Sunday school, it poured. I was sitting up on the corner in a Sunday school room. I had started a Sunday school class and had given it to one of the men in the church. And I was sitting by a window. And all during Sunday school, that rain was pelting that window. Now keep in mind, the church at that time had never been over 200 in Sunday school in its entire history. And it's raining to beat the band outside. Baptist people don't have to stay home necessarily because it's raining if it just looks like rain. They'll get an excuse to stay away. And here it is, the church has never been over 200 in this entire history. I'm praying, and this is my ministry riding on it. I mean, my ministry was riding on this thing. I knew it and God knew it. And all during Sunday school, that rain pelted that window. I was excited. Now, folks, if I've tried to teach you anything about prayer in this church, remember, you have to be excited. And you have to pray with anticipation and expectation. You believe that what you're praying about is going to happen. I did not lose faith, folks. I didn't say to myself, oh, well, it won't happen with all this rain. I mean, it don't even happen on a pretty day. So you remember when that little bell used to ring to let you know that Sunday school was over? The lady that kept our records, a precious lady that's been in heaven for many, many years. I stopped by her desk, and I said to her, Miss Teaching, how many did we have in Sunday school this morning? She looked up at me and she said, oh, Brother Hudson, we had 220 in Sunday school today. I almost shouted. Man, I want to tell you something. That was a miracle. I went by my desk. I got my Bible. And I walked out into the auditorium that morning. Every seat in that auditorium, it was packed out. And it was just raining cats and dogs outside. And the next Sunday, it was a beautiful Sunday. And guess what? The Sunday school went down to 170. That may not mean a lot to you, but this meant a lot to me for a number of years. Because every time I get a little bit down, I start thinking about that Sunday that God did that miracle. 220. And then quickly, let me give you the third one, verses 7 and 8. He's talking about the sacrificial praise that is acclaimed. He finds fullness in God in verse 7. He said, "Thou hast put goodness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased." Can you imagine a farmer that has a tremendous amount of corn and all the things of wine, whatever it was that he was going, that he was just excited and about ready to shout. And notice what David said under the power of the Holy Spirit, "Thou hast put goodness in my heart more than time when their corn," that is, when the farmer, when their corn and their wine increase. And I want to tell you something, folks. When God really does something for you, be sure you stop long enough to praise Him.
Amen.
Thank you. And verse 8, and then I'm through. "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep." When he first started the psalm, he was in deep trouble. When he got to the last verse, he said, "I'm going to lie down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." What a tremendous verse that is. Now let me give you two more verses to go into your little card that I hope you'll carry around with you. And I probably won't be able to find it. I know I'll put it in here. And there it is. There's 9 verses on that card. I want to give you 1 Peter 5:7. "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." That means anything that causes you inner conflict. And then I want to give you Psalm 55:22. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." I hope and pray that this has been a blessing to you, Brother Lord.
Again, we'd like to thank you for joining us, and we will again next Sunday morning, June the 7th, have our morning worship service at 11 a.m. And if you need a church home, this is a very loving church. And we have a pastor that preaches the Bible. And we would love to have you come. So thank you again for joining us. Have a great week, and see you next time.